They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Joining me on the Commons today is Martha Bonetta, one of my favorite people, because Martha always has a huge smile on her face, and she's always so upbeat and positive. No matter what happens, she's upbeat and positive. She's never ruffled, and she's amazing. Martha, thank you so much. I know it's been a rough ride coming in today.
Yes, we came in today from Liberty Farm. Out at the farm, our harvest is starting to come in. And so I definitely look like I have been working at the farm all day. But I am so blessed to be here. Sue, you are a hero to so many. Your fight to protect property rights and our liberty is known just not only across Virginia, but across the nation. And I feel so blessed and honored to be here with you today.
You know, we have to talk about it because you can't keep sweeping this stuff under the rug. Mm-hmm. And if we keep sweeping it under the rug, it gets lost. And what do we have to show for it?
Absolutely.
What do we have to show for all the work? I mean, I know that you work tons. You work on the farm.
Yes.
You go lobby. You're all
Absolutely.
Over the place. You fly all over the country. And you're always pushing the freedom aspect
Absolutely.
Of it, and educating people and telling your story.
It's and so important. It's so important.
It is. It absolutely is important. Now, you've taken your fight a next step?
Yes, we have.
Tell us about it.
Well, you know, I'm a native of Virginia, born and raised, and it was my childhood dream to be a farmer. And about 10 years ago, that dream became reality. In 2006, my family purchased Liberty Farm in beautiful Paris, Virginia. And we never dreamed, we never imagined in a million years that we would work so hard and sacrifice so much to have this dream become reality, to face miles and miles of red tape and overregulation, and really be terrorized and harassed on our own farm.
And there's a video that's been made of you called Farming in Fear.
Yes.
And it seems like farmers are being attacked all over the place.
Right. And, you know, farmers built our nation. And the ability to farm in peace and the ability to possess land is really about being an American when you think about it, because freedom stands on the shoulders of property rights. And, you know, family farmers, it's really a profession of hope. There are so many things that you can't control, like the weather, like end rot, you know, blight. There are so many things that affect your harvest. No matter how hard you work, you can't always control the outcome.
Right.
But, you know, the freedom to produce food for your neighbors, for your community, is fundamental to being an American. And yet, we're seeing time and time again, not just in, you know, Virginia with what happened to me, but all across our nation, farmers are being attacked, particularly family farmers, and strangled off the land through overregulation. And it's devastating. And having experienced it, it's our hope and prayer that no other family has to suffer the way we have. And that's why I do what I do. That's why I sacrifice so much of my time and my time with my family to make sure that nobody else in Virginia, no other family, no other farmers across the country have to suffer almost a decade of abuse and abusive regulation and power gone wild. You know, people that are drunk with power that use their power to abuse and violate the rights, the constitutional rights, the privacy rights, the property rights, and the economic liberty of farmers and families that just want to be left alone in peace to grow food on the land and to sell it to their neighbors.
Well, I think you have
made me aware of a lot of things. I mean, I've always known where food came from, and I grew up on the Mediterranean, so all the fruits and vegetables always tasted like fruits and vegetables, and I was so disappointed when I came here, and everything, nothing smelled, and everything looked, tasted like it was made of styrofoam.
Absolutely.
And just lately, I've been going to the farmers markets to get fresh farm produce. Yes.
Everything tastes better when the chickens are out in the sunshine.
Yes.
Their eggs taste better. And when they're able to be chickens and forage in their natural environment, that's when we get the diverse flavors that you don't get in a commercialized environment where everything looks the same, tastes the same. And there's no diversity of flavor like you get in a local
farm. It's just we seem to be going that route. All houses have to be the same. Mm-hmm. Everything you have, all your plants have to be the same. Everything has got to be uniform. And that sort of is so reminiscent of the brown shirts that really created havoc. And I think we're doing the same thing over here. I was watching a program the other day, cooking in Norway, or modern Norwegian cooking. And it's a farm, and I kept thinking, now, why can't we do that here? It was a farm that somebody bought, and it's in the middle of Oslo. The city has grown around the farm, and this guy is teaching kids, and I watched it, and I kept thinking of you. This guy's teaching kids where the food comes from, teaching them how to harvest the food, how to cut the food, how to cook with the food. And I realized that carrots are dessert, really. And I mean, it was so magnificent. But here, if you have a house that's got a little extra land, we're just taking it away from you and turning it into something unbelievable.
There's a reason why this is so visceral for Americans. Because when you talk about food, and it's the unifier. The ultimate unifier is food. No matter where you come from, what you believe in, where you fall politically, whether you're far left, far right, somewhere in between, food, everybody eats food, and everybody cares about food in one way or the other. And so when you talk about shutting down farmers, when you talk about over-regulating them into the ground, when you talk about demand inspections, you know, coming in like they did for me and demanding to inspect my closets, photographing my personal private possessions, terrorizing our family the way
going
they did.
Going through your laundry.
Yes. You know, going through our cupboards, demanding to know what we're doing on our farm. When you talk about that all across our nation, it affects everybody. I mean, you feel it in your heart. It's painful to hear about it, even whether it happens to you personally or not, like it did to my family. When you hear about this story of power gone wild, power that's, people are drunk with power, and they're using it to strip people of their property rights, their privacy, their constitutional rights, their ability to make ends meet, to be economically viable on the land. You know, in order to grow food, to be a family farmer today, not only is it physically exhaustive, but it's becoming increasingly more difficult to make ends meet, to be viable on the land, to be able to support yourself and your family and continue to produce food in the marketplace. And yet, as much as we're seeing people craving locally produced good food, and the farmers markets are popping up everywhere, there's still this obsession with wanting to over-regulate and dictate how farmers farm.
There's an obsession to over-regulate and dictate just about everything. What you wear, how you walk, what you drive, what you plant. And you're agreeing with us, right?
Yes, absolutely, yes.
And that's got to stop.
It does.
That's a disease.
I'll give you an example. I believe it's in South Carolina that just came out with a law, codified into law, that the citizenry of South Carolina, and I don't know where exactly this took place, can't wear their pants down too low. You know how it's a fad for young people?
Yeah.
Now, I don't like the way that looks. I mean, I don't want to look at people's underwear, but if we're going to start regulating what people wear, and in California, another legislator didn't want women wearing yoga pants because he thought yoga pants were offensive. If people are obsessed, once they get into power, oftentimes they become so drunk with their own influence, they want to micromanage every facet of people's lives down to their pants. So we're going to have pants police now running around our country telling people that they can't wear certain types of pants. It's ridiculous.
I got calls from people who lived in condominiums.
Yeah.
The lady went across the hall to borrow a cup of sugar or something, and she was wearing flip-flops. Mm-hmm. And I think she had curlers in her hair. She was cooking and she was making. She was fined. They went after her. The condo association went after her because she was not properly attired.
Wow.
And that just by going across the hall in the association, that she was devaluing property, which is absolutely
outrageous.
Absurd. It's absolutely
outrageous.
Stupid, insane, ridiculous.
It is. It is.
But we're at that point, and people accept it.
They do accept it, which is why we, the citizenry, you know, we've lost the sense of what our forefathers fought for and died for us, which is to have freedom, the ability to a government of we the people. And it should be, we should be governed from the bottom up, not from the top down where we have, you know, individuals trying to dictate every facet of our lives. And it's very disturbing. I mean, in my case, my locality threatened me with $15,000 a day.
That's insane.
And what did I do wrong? I was growing organic vegetables, producing raw honey, having a farm animal sanctuary. And the most horrific crime of all, according to them, was having a birthday party for 8-10-year-old little girls in the privacy of our barn in the middle of January. And they wanted to shut us down, which they did when we were in full-on harvest, cost us a lot of money. And it was devastating. I remember thinking, this is not the America that my father and mother envisioned for us, that our grandparents that worked so hard envisioned for us. I mean, I grew up in a family where mom and dad told us, you can work as hard as you want in this country and be anything you want.
Right.
As long as you're disciplined and you stay focused on your dreams, you can work hard and be anything you want. And I held that in my heart my whole life. And my whole life, I wanted to be a family farmer. And when that dream came through, it was the greatest day of my life. And then it seemed as though before the ink was even dry, they were coming after us to shut us down. And when we received that notice in the mail, which, by the way, carries criminal ramifications. So the county, not only did they want to fine us $15,000 a day, but the notice of violation carries criminal ramifications. Now, think about this. We're on a farm zone, rural agricultural, in an agricultural state, and that's a right-to-farm state. Over 400,000 jobs come from agriculture in Virginia. It produces $52 billion into our economy. And here I am in an agricultural county where what I'm doing is being done by farms all around me, and yet they wanted to come after me. And, of course, as you know, we found out later that this was all part of a land grab conspiracy to kick us off the farm.
And that's going on, the land grabs all over the place.
All over the place.
It's outrageous,
mm-hmm.
and it's got to stop.
Well, you know, when the government wants your land, or when these powerful NGOs, when these powerful organizations want your land, they don't have to come and steal it from you. They can regulate you off of it by coming up with ridiculous rules that are so outrageous and so abusive and so terrorizing. And they can pick and choose winners and losers. They really can. They can say, listen, we don't like you, so guess what? We're going to make your life a living nightmare. We're going to terrorize your family. You're going to go to sleep every night crying your eyes out. And you're going to wake up every morning on your knees praying to God to help you so that you can endure another day of the terror and the harassment. And I know what it's like. And my family knows what it's like. And that's why we do what we do, which is to let folks know that, you know, one person really can make a difference, you know, to stand up, to draw that line in the sand that says, no, this is my property that my family has fought and sacrificed for, and we have a right to work hard on it, and we have a right to make a living off of our land as farmers, and you don't have a right to engage in abuse to get what you want because you feel you have the power to take away people's rights and their freedom and their liberty. This is America, and we won't let that happen. And I'm so grateful for you, Shu, and for so many people like you that stood by me and gave me the courage and gave thousands and thousands and thousands of people the courage to stand up against this type of tyranny and abuse.
You're the one in the limelight. You're the one in the crosshairs of all of this. I can give you all the support, and I will, always.
Thank you.
Always, always. But you're the one who's putting up with all of this nonsense. Mm-hmm. And by putting up with all of this nonsense, what you're doing is making it a little better for our kids and our grandkids and our great grandkids, because if we don't stop the insanity now, it will just get even more out of hand than it already is.
Absolutely.
And what a lot of places have done, a lot of local municipal governments have mandated homeowner associations, so they've shunted all of that responsibility off onto the private sector. So you have all these little mini dictators
in
these associations.
Exactly.
They're going around doing exactly the same thing. They get away with it there.
Yes.
then you've got these NGOs and you've got local municipal mm-hmm. governments. If you're going to put up with it from your neighbors, then we can do the same thing to you.
Oh, absolutely.
And so it's got to stop all across the board. It has to stop.
It does, because, you know, that is one of the last bastions of freedom, you know, being able to work hard and possess property.
Yeah.
And yet we're seeing time and time and again our rights violated and us being stripped of everything we've worked so hard for. And one of the messages I hope to leave everybody with is that is to never, ever, ever give up. You know, when the bad guys come after you and they want to shut you down and they want to take away your property rights and your freedom and your liberty and your God-given right to live in peace and have quiet enjoyment on your land, you say no. Absolutely not, and that you're not going to go down without a fight. Because I'll tell you, when you put yourself out there, like I have,
yeah,
you take a lot of hits.
Yeah, you do.
A lot of people want to hurt you, want to dirty your name, want to come after you.
Yeah.
But if you always walk in love and light and truth,
yeah,
I promise you, I promise everybody that's listening to me, I promise you, as long as you walk in love and light and truth, no matter what the bad guys throw at you, you can handle it. And as a result of the thousands of people that rallied behind our family and our farm, we were able to pass legislation to protect the rights of family farmers in Virginia. And I'm just so humbled and so blessed and grateful because that piece of model legislation is being used and considered in places all over the country, because there really is a problem with this war on family farmers, and we have to stop that. And, you know, the part of the problem is that what started off as well as a good program, which is conservation. And, you know, conservation, I mean, I believe I'm a sustainable organic farmer. I believe in being good to the earth. And we use no pesticides or herbicides whatsoever. And, you know, we really feel very blessed and grateful to be able to produce healthy food. I eat tomatoes right off the vine. I just grab them, rub them on my shirt.
They smell good.
They smell good. Yeah. We make our own compost. I mean, you know, we are the epitome of what, you know, good, sustainable local farming. I'm modeled after Joel Salatin from Polyface Farm in Swope, Virginia. He's my farm guru. And I really I really believe in that. So conservation is a good thing. I mean, we really should be good stewards of the earth. But what's happened is that these organizations have no accountability. There's no transparency. And transparency, transparency, transparency. We need transparency in these programs to protect abuse, corruption, conspiracy, to prevent individuals that are, have so much power that they are able to destroy and wipe out entire families and everything they've worked for on their family farms, because there is no transparency, 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 which is what happened in to our family.
And lies. And I'm so fed up with lies all over the damn place. But anyway, I wanted to ask you about that. When you bought the farm mm-hmm. and you knew there was this land trust on it, mm-hmm. were you aware of what it was all about? Did you know about land trusts, or were you misrepresented?
Well, I have to tell you, I thought they were the good guys. I mean, I grew up in Mount Vernon. I grew up with my mom and my dad. We had kitchen gardens in the backyard, and my grandmother, you know, God rest her soul, she would work on her knees in the garden and come in covered in dirt, and we all worked in the kitchen gardens with my grandmother and my mother, and those memories are very dear to my heart. So When my family found this farm that had been abandoned, it looked like a scene from the movie Deliverance, with everything overgrown.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was just in horrific condition. There was really no infrastructure to start farming. We had to drill wells. We had to put in fences. We had to lift the barn up on hydraulic lifts. Every bit of siding on wood siding had to be replaced. It was rotten to the core. I mean, we spent a fortune resurrecting this farm so that we'd be able to farm. But when we found this farm and the land trust that was selling it, I thought to myself, wow, these are the good guys. You know, these are the folks that want to protect and preserve farming, because that's what they promised us. They told us that you're going to be able to farm forever, for generations.
This is what they told you when you bought the farm.
Yes, okay. Absolutely. And so, you know, we didn't even use our own attorney. We trusted their representations made to us, and we used, you know, their settlement folks for the closing. And we had no idea. We had been sold a fraud. It was basically my family were so believing and trusting, because after all, this organization they're not just, it's not just a state organization. They are a federal organization because they are, there is a federal and state component to these land trusts that are given all of this money. I mean, millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. Much of that money is donated from private entities that believe in this cause. And so they're willing to donate substantial money to them to, quote, protect and preserve these historic sites and also conserve, you know, conservation values in these lands. And a lot of the money comes from grants. A lot of it comes from our tax dollars through the federal government and through the state government and oftentimes through localities as well that fund these organizations to protect and preserve land. And, you know, in our good faith belief, we thought these were the good guys. We never dreamed in a million years that that we would be terrorized and harassed for a decade. And it was so horrendous, my family, to read the communications between the land trust, these realtors, and my local county government conspiring to force us off our property to the point where they were discussing our personal private mortgage and how they could force us into foreclosure by exercising a due on sale clause. They even tried to purchase our mortgage from us, from our bank. I mean, the lengths that these people went through give me chills. It is beyond what any American citizen, actually anybody anywhere in the globe, should have to suffer through. It is horrendous. And, you know, as you know, you've seen the videos of them terrorizing our family, demanding to inspect our closets, photographing our personal private possessions. I mean, it is one of the most horrific experiences that any family, you know, your property is supposed to be your safe haven, your place where you can go and be with your family, your grandchildren, your children, your spouse, and have peace and tranquility and know that that is one place anywhere in the world you can be safe. And instead, we were living a nightmare every single second on that property, wondering what are these folks going to do to us next? What in their drunk with power efforts, what are they going to do next to hurt us? And the evidence is miles long. It's outrageous. It's egregious. And it's my hope and my prayer that, you know, through speaking out, no family will ever have to suffer the way we have. And so ultimately we passed legislation through the General Assembly. I'm so humbled and very grateful to the thousands of Virginians. I mean, over 10,000 Virginians signed petitions, thousands of phone calls, letters. Families left their homes, their jobs, their children to come to the General Assembly and be heard. And it didn't matter whether you were a farmer or not. If you're a consumer and a taxpaying citizen for the Commonwealth of Virginia, you know, this mattered to you too. And families came from all over, and I am so blessed and grateful. I don't know how I could ever thank anybody enough. I know that I'll spend the rest of my life just expressing my gratitude to the people that made it possible, not just to help us, but to help other family farmers so they would never have to endure, you know, what we have.
Well, you inspire people to want to do that. I think the fact that you're not a whiner, you're not a victim, you're telling your story the way it happened, and people listen to you. But you've always got, as I said at the top of the hour, you've always got this huge smile on your face, mm-hmm. and you're always so upbeat and positive mm-hmm. and fun to be around that people want to work with you. People want to help you.
Well, you know, I when I started down this journey, I'm so grateful for my faith, my family, and my friends, because at the end of the day, I knew that no matter what terror or harassment or no matter what, how abusive these people were to us, I was not going to let them take away my heart. And I wanted to make sure that everything I did was with love and with light and following my heart. And doing everything with the purity of the cause and not allowing it to be corrupted by these other agendas that all of these folks have. You know, a lot of these land trusts, I believe, do good work. I really do. Unfortunately, my family happened to encounter one that really not only hurt my family, but really hurt people all over the country that cherish and value our historical integrity in our nation. I mean, our phones have been blown up from people calling us from all over the country saying, I know this happened to you and your family, but we feel violated that an organization that has so much trust with so little transparency or accountability was able to basically recreate history and claim that Stonewall Jackson was on your property when there's no historical evidence of that whatsoever. They feel violated. Our American history means so much. It's so much a part of the soul of our nation, you know, how we came to be where we are today, and to have it just whimsically used as a way to, quote, protect and preserve a piece of land that's claimed to be, you know, holy land because of where a Stonewall Jackson encamped, without you know, any sense of integrity for protecting and preserving what's really important, is so egregious and so outrageous. I mean, we cannot have organizations that take so lightly our American history.
We're going to get to that in just a second. But before we get away from the land trust, I really want to go back to it.
Sure.
You said most of them operate really well and they're doing a lot of good work.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, they're all subject to the same laws and the same lack of oversight.
Yes.
So there needs to be some kind of accountability built into it.
Absolutely. And we also, what we need to do now is go back and investigate and research every single one of these easements. Because I can assure you that this type of thing, with what we realized, which we had no idea, is that there is no oversight. There is no accountability. There is no transparency. These organizations operate like their own little fiefdoms and their own little kingdoms. Now, as I said, not all of them terrorize and harass families and do what this group did to us, but I can tell you that.
But they can.
They can, because there isn't enough transparency.
So so the warning to other people out there is, just because it hasn't done it yet doesn't mean that they're not going to do it. So do your due diligence, and how do you protect yourself going into something like this? Looking back, is there anything that you can say now, had I known I would have done this, that, and the other, not to end up in this position?
I think that you know, we love America and we love Virginia, my family, with all our hearts. My father served our country in the Korean War. We love the Appalachian Shenandoah Valley, the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia. Our Virginia heritage, it means so much to our family. And so when they advertised on the World Wide Web that this was a one of a kind in the whole world property, where it's a part of a living part of Virginia history, where Stonewall Jackson himself stood guard over his troops in a specific spot on our farm, it made my heart swell with so much pride to be a Virginian and for our family to own a piece of, and to be able to farm and love this land and protect it ourselves, was the greatest thing we could imagine, and which is why we were willing to purchase this farm. And then to find out that there's no historical evidence whatsoever was absolutely heartbreaking and devastating. I mean, how is it even possible that an organization, a land trust, has so much power that they can advertise on the World Wide Web something that isn't true at all, and then sell a property and put this in a document in my deed and put restrictions on a property to take away our property rights based on a non-truth? I mean, it is so devastating. Talking to you right now, tears are welling up in my eyes. If you only knew how devastating this was. We were so proud as a family. We went and had our farm trademarked. We paid money, had it trademarked for the specific purpose of historical tours, because to take families to where Stonewall Jackson himself stood guard over his troops.
You were also told that you were not allowed to use a certain chunk of the the land, and you had to fence it.
Yes, we were threatened. We were told that we had to fence off our land because it was holy land where Stonewall Jackson had been, that it was treasured land, and that we had to fence it off. Our animals were not allowed to get shade under the trees. We weren't allowed to, ourselves as a family, we weren't allowed to picnic there. No human or animal activity. They forced us to fence it off. They didn't reimburse my family for any of the labor or materials or time or lost revenue or anything that my family suffered as a result of that. And they strictly, grossly limited our quiet use and enjoyment of our land because of this fake historic significance given to our property, when there's no historical evidence whatsoever that Stonewall Jackson himself stood guard in that particular place on our farm. It is egregious, and it is so outrageous. And I can tell you that even as I talk to you now, I mean, I have goosebumps and my eyes are starting to swell up, because it's just so painful to think that if this could happen to us, it could happen to any American.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And we need to investigate every single one of these so-called conservation easements at a minimum of this, from this organization to look at the language to determine where else anything like this may have occurred to prevent any other family from suffering like ours has. And so there really needs to be reform on a federal and state level. There needs to be accountability. There needs to be transparency. Yeah. The fact that this could even happen is so upsetting.
It's not surprising. I hate to say it. It's not in the least bit surprising. Yeah. We've just shunted everything over onto private organizations in private sectors and said, all right, you handle it. We don't want to know anything about it. It's not, we just don't want to do it. But along with that huge lie, they also inflated the price of the farm, too.
Well, sure. I mean, there are gorgeous farms all over the Commonwealth of Virginia. I mean, beautiful, beautiful bucolic family farms, working farms, cattle farms, vegetable farms. But only one in the whole world where Stonewall Jackson could have bivouacked. They claim that Stonewall Jackson stood guard over his troops before the Battle of Manassas like this. And so, you know, the fact that my family suffered like this. We suffered financially. We've suffered emotionally. The impact on us has been beyond anything I dream possible. The fact that this happened speaks to a larger issue, and that is that the sanctity of our nation's history, being the fact that an organization can so grossly warp the historical integrity of our country like that, put it on the World Wide Web to sell this farm, I think is heartbreaking. And I think it's devastating. And it's my hope and my prayer that there will be some type of oversight and transparency, transparency, transparency. I believe that if an organization is receiving tax dollars, any land trust that's receiving tax dollars from a federally or a state or county mandated, like the Conservation Easement Act.
Do we need them?
Do we really need them? I believe that our public parks serve a purpose. You know, like, for example, some of our huge national parks. I think that they are a huge part of our country. But do we need organizations that get millions and millions of dollars to harass and terrorize a family that just wants to be left alone in peace? Do we need them photographing families' personal private possessions, demanding to look in their closets?
That's absolutely outrageous.
You know, conspiring to have their mortgage called in, and a laundry list of horrific acts that my family endured. Absolutely not. And I do believe that a so-called private 501c3 nonprofit that's receiving that much money in tax programs, they should be subject to the Freedom of Information Act. If you're receiving that much money and you're acting under a federally mandated program, they're not subject to the Freedom of Information Act. And most Americans don't know that. And that is something that we need to push for and push for hard. Had this organization been subject to the Freedom of Information Act early on, perhaps my family, maybe my family wouldn't have endured a decade of constant harassment and not being able to experience peace and enjoyment on our land. But unfortunately, they're not subject to the Freedom of Information Act. Now, you know, if a family or a farmer or, you know, individuals are seeking to place an easement on their property, I highly, highly, highly recommend that if that's something that you want to do, that you go with a public land trust that is a state organization that is subject to the Freedom of Information Act, that has oversight, accountability, and transparency, that is subject to the General Assembly in any given state, that has to be accountable in that regard. Because unless you have that level of transparency, that level of accountability to we the people, to the citizenry, it is a recipe for corruption. It's a recipe for fraud. And I say that for any organization that receives any type of public funding. Unless there is some sort of accountability and transparency, transparency, and transparency that can be acquired through the Freedom of Information Act, it is ripe for corruption.
Martha, I'm going to go a little in a slightly different direction and just ask you a question. If you have a farm now and it's not subject to all of this stuff, do you have any guarantees that you will always be allowed to farm it? Or Are you subject to having the local municipal government come along or the state government mm-hmm. come along and say, okay, Martha, we've decided we want to put a whole bunch of high-rises mm-hmm. here and we're going to make this, you know, the town center and we're going to have a walkable community and all of this yeah. nonsense that these morons are coming up with
well,
now.
Absolutely. And I can speak to Virginia. We are so blessed. I am so thankful to be a Virginian. We are a right-to-farm state. We also, over 75% of our Virginians passed the eminent domain amendment, and that crossed party lines. It was bipartisan.
Yeah.
And, you know, does this type of thing happen all across our nation? Absolutely. Is there a parcel of land somewhere in our country right now that our developers are saying, you know what, I know you like your family farm, and I know you like that peach orchard that's been in your family for five generations, but you know what? Where you're located right now, we want to put a massive highway, and we also want to put a strip mall there. That's happening every day all across our nation.
I understand that. In fact, there was a Christmas tree farm right up the street from me, and I know the owners, and mm-hmm. that was a land grant from England way mm-hmm. back, a family grant that had been moved down, pushed down. And Fairfax County came along and said, no, we need to build mm-hmm. Single-family homes here. So they took away the farm. They just it was an economic warfare mm-hmm. to the point where they couldn't afford the taxes anymore mm. and they sold it to a developer, and now it's a subdivision.
And you know, and there needs to be fair compensation too. So, you know, where there are instances where a municipality, a government comes in and says, you know what, this is a better use for your property.
Who said it is?
Right.
It's your property.
It's your property.
If you want to have a Christmas tree farm, isn't
right.
that the best possible use for it?
But part of the problem, too, is that in different parts of the country, oftentimes these properties are zoned out of agriculture. So what they'll do is they'll say, you know
yes.
what? You're farming today. That's great. But guess what? Tomorrow we're going to change your zoning.
That's what I'm asking you.
Yeah.
Is there some way of protecting it without having these Mickey Mouse councils?
Yeah.
Is there some way of making sure that if you have farming or land that's zoned agricultural, mm-hmm. that you can keep that zoning without having these corrupt idiots in?
Right. I mean, one would think that there would be a way, but really there is nothing, not even with these organizations, that can truly protect individuals from having somebody come down upon them and try to take away their ability to farm the land. There's really, it's we the people. It's we the citizenry, we the voters that have to form coalitions, form organizations, become intimately involved with the legislative process, get to know our representatives, and let them know that we're not going away. You know, we are not going away. You can try and take away everything we have, but at the end of the day, our voice is not going to be silenced, and we are not going to go away. And we are going to fight until, you know, our last breath to protect our freedom, our liberty, our property rights, our economic ability, the ability to make ends meet, to support ourselves and our families. And we're going to not allow ourselves to be deprived of those rights. And that's why citizen activism and involvement is so critical now more than ever. Over 75% of Americans say that they are terrified of the future of our country.
Yeah.
And it crosses party lines.
Yeah.
They're terrified that the future of our country for our future generation is not going to be as good as we have it now or as they had it when they were growing up. And, you know, that really speaks volumes, and it really speaks to our hearts and really to the heart of our country. And now more than ever, we, the citizens, need to stand together, and we need to lift each other up, and we need to fight back against tyrannical overreach and abusive regulations.
You said earlier that you've been attacked, people
yes.
who disagree with you. How do you train these people? Because I hear from a lot mm-hmm. of people who really don't like something
yes.
I said,
yes.
or they're telling me how wrong I
yes.
am. And how do you train these people not to be so gullible
mm-hmm.
and believe and accept everything that somebody told them?
Yes.
Just because you're in a position of power doesn't mean, A, you're smart.
Right.
B, you know what you're talking about. C, that you're not corrupt.
Absolutely.
How do you get people to think?
Well, there are a couple of things. You know, oftentimes these attacks are personal and they're not based on the substantive fact of the issue. So in other words, they'll attack somebody's character.
Yes.
They'll attack
always.
Their appearance, particularly
always,
women.
Always,
they'll
always.
Attack, you know,
always.
Personal things. But at the end of the day, if they're not able to attack the facts or the merit of the issue, whatever it is, I feel as though we, by our example, you know, for me, no matter what, you know, I would wake up in the morning, say my prayers, and remind myself to walk in love, light, and truth, and allow all of that to just be repelled for me and my family, because we were going to focus on what mattered. And what mattered was that our property rights had been violated. And if it could happen to me, it could happen to any Virginian and any American in this country. And that we were not asking for more than we were entitled to, which is to be able to farm our land in peace and to have property rights and to be able to enjoy the fruits of our labor on our land. And what, no matter what was thrown at us, we knew in our hearts that what we were doing was right for us and right for Virginia and right for our country. And it is with that those values and that integrity and just bringing the truth and integrity to every situation. And I think that is, as long as you walk with integrity, that's all that matters at the end of the day. And no matter what the bad guys throw at you, that truth and that integrity and leading with your heart is all that really matters.
We want, you keep talking about we the people, and I want we the people on our side, but I want we the people to be educated, intelligent, knowledgeable. And the sad fact is that they're not.
Yes.
A lot of we the people are cuckoo.
This is true. This is very true. I think that we're in a critical time in our country now. People are angry. There's anger all across our country, crossing party lines.
Yes.
So people are waking up, and they are frustrated. They're frustrated that our economy isn't in a place where it should be. They're frustrated, you know, in Southwest Virginia and in different parts of our country. You know, being in Northern Virginia, oftentimes, you know, really experiencing the frustration of inability to find jobs and inability to find works to feed families. I mean, it's a serious issue.
Yeah,
and
it is.
People are frustrated. They want change. They're tired of all the partisan politics that are throwing us into no longer being competitive in our nation, in Virginia. I mean, you know, we've lost our standing as being competitive. And, you know, I believe that the future is bright. I'm a very optimistic person, as you know.
With that smile,
yes. And I really believe that, I believe everything my mom and my dad told us. You know, we live in the greatest country on earth where you can work hard and be anything you want in life, and I refuse to believe that that's not the case anymore. And despite what happened to me, and you can see I'm getting choked up, I really believe that good prevails over evil. And I believe that in the core of my being. I believe that good will always prevail over evil, and the bad guys at the end will lose. And I will never lose that faith, and I'll always keep that hopeful heart. And I surround myself with good people that also believe in the American dream and that are fighters and that aren't willing to give up. And I hope that my story inspires others to not be afraid to speak up, to have the courage to say, no, this isn't right. And not because, and to fight not just for themselves.
But for everyone. But for the cause. And you've taken that one step further. You're now back in court again, right?
Yes.
We've got about 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
We have filed a lawsuit with regard to the Stonewall Jackson false claim that was made on our property that was sold to us. We were told that Stonewall Jackson himself stood guard over troops on our property, and it was with that we purchased our property and spent a lot of money cultivating our business plan around that idea, that historical significance, that great one of a kind in the entire world property that we were sold. And we filed a lawsuit
against the
land trust.
Piedmont Environmental Council.
The land trust.
Okay.
And you know, our hope and our prayer is that we will be left alone in peace, because no American should have to wake up every morning praying to God, saying, dear Lord, dear Heavenly Father, please do not allow our family to be subjected to any more of this abusive overregulation. Please leave us alone. Please tell these bad guys to leave us alone, and so that we can just be left alone in peace. No American should have to live like that, not on their own property, not when they're doing something that's as American as apple pie, like family farming.
You know how many times I hear that the one thing I want is to be left alone, to live in peace, to do whatever it is you're going to do, whether mm-hmm. you're going to farm, whether you're going to raise chickens, whether you're going to, whatever you're going to mm-hmm. do, or just be in your own home. I just want to be left alone. And that seems to be the rallying cry.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Particularly when you're talking about a scenario where we're raising eggs. I mean, we're producing chicken eggs from happy hens that frolic in the sun, and we have an apiary. We produce raw honey. We produce vegetables. I mean, this is as American as apple pie, as healthy and as wholesome as you can be. Families come from every corner of Virginia because they want to come to our farm where their children can harvest their own eggs. I mean, so many children have never felt a warm egg straight from a chicken.
Yeah.
And to experience the joy and the wonder and the pureness of a family farm. I mean, it's a beautiful thing that we as a society, as a culture, should be lifting up, and we should be encouraging, not stifling, not shutting people down and doing it in such a horrendous way to hurt people. We should be cherishing and celebrating, you know, anybody that wants to work in the dirt and wants to muck stalls and be covered in filth all day long to have the joy of producing
have
food.
Fun. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I have to tell you, it's the hardest I've ever worked in my life, and I feel very grateful for the opportunity to be stewards of this earth, to produce food, to do it in a loving way, and to know that it brings so much joy to people. I can't tell you how my heart fills with so much love and joy when I have families and children and people and individuals tell me, those were the best chicken eggs I've ever tasted. I didn't know eggs could taste that good. Or they'll say, wow, that tomato, I've never tasted a tomato that was so aromatic. The colors are so vibrant. The texture is so delicious. And that comes from, you know, from loving what you do and from putting up, we put a lot of love into everything we do. And to think that there are individuals or groups out there that want to shut that type of pureness and that type of, you know, love for producing food for the community is just heartbreaking. And so, you know, I hope that that more people will stand up and fight the fight with us to protect our rights and to protect the rights of family farmers and consumers. It's not just about the farmers, because when the farmers are shut down, the consumers access hurt, they lose, everybody loses. And, you know, the more successful family farmers are, the more opportunity there is for more jobs. More growth is good for in the agricultural industry, in the family farming industry. It's a healthy industry. It's one we should be supporting. And it's better for the consumers and the public at large to have access to the farm fresh air and the environment and the wonderful healthy produce that come from family farmers.
When I was a kid, we had a summer house up in the mountains, and mm-hmm. every year my father would go and get some chickens and ducks and geese mm-hmm. and all kinds of things. And we had a garden. We grew our own vegetables and had fruit trees and stuff. And I remember going out. I mean, I'm a city girl, born and bred. Mm-hmm. Right in the city, we didn't do much of anything. But I just loved going out there. And in the morning, we'd go out and go to the hen house. And we'd find mm-hmm. the eggs. And I remember they were warm and the shells were soft.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to be very, very careful. And then, of course, you don't get that anymore.
Right. I mean,
now they're all, you know.
Sure.
Doesn't so like I said, there's a farmer's market right behind the studio over here on Sunday mornings, and I've been going there, so you can see the egg cartons that I get.
But there's a real awakening too across our nation. I mean, there really is. You know, we're so blessed in Virginia. We have a farmer's market week for the first time ever. Our governor created a farmer's market week to celebrate, you know, farmer's markets.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and so there's this real awakening. There's a you know, tremendous, even the governor's mansion in Richmond now has grapes growing. I mean, there's a real sense of, and you know, I don't know if they still have chickens. I think at one time there was a desire to have, you know, chicken coops there too. I mean, there's this real celebration and appreciation of the movement. And I feel very blessed and grateful that our Virginia General Assembly is really the leader in terms of crafting this type of legislation. And now it's being celebrated everywhere. And so as a victory for family farmers and for the future of this great appreciation for this local food movement and the beauty a local food movement brings to a community. It brings diversity of crop, you know, and I am somebody that believes that people should have the choice to choose what kind of food they want. I'm not here saying, well, we should shut down all commercial agriculture at all. I'm not saying we should shut down Purdue. But what I am saying is that people should have the choice of whether they want to have a local organic, raised in the sunshine chicken, or whether they want to have a commercial. It's the choice. Let people choose for themselves what they want to consume.
Getting to a farm and buying your stuff fresh from the farm is not really easy for everybody, because there's a fair distance to come out. Mm-hmm. And so I do appreciate the farmers markets, but I also realize that a lot of people want to grow food in their own gardens. In home gardens, they're not all that big because property is shrinking and getting smaller all the time. And people are planting vegetables in the front yard, which is just driving these aesthetic police nuts.
Well, I mean, it's so outrageous that folks are being forced to pull their tomato plants out of their front yards. I mean, you know, to me, a tomato plant is beautiful. It's food. It's nurturing.
Yeah.
It comes out of the earth, and we should be celebrating it. Instead, you know, there are all of these rules and regulations. Folks are being forced to pull out their tomato plants and their cucumbers and their zucchinis and their eggplants, and you know, it's pretty egregious. I'm a huge cheerleader for Virginia, and I know that I am, because I love Virginia with all my heart. It's my home. It's where I was raised. But I have to tell you, you know, Virginia has done a pretty amazing job in terms of really paving the way for more agricultural entrepreneurial opportunity. You know, we have thriving wineries right now.
Yeah.
We have thriving wineries that pump a lot into our state in terms of jobs and revenue. And we have breweries and cideries, and now we have distilleries. And so, you know, there is this thriving agricultural economy. I feel sad because those that paved the way, the first ones, really paid the price for us all.
Yeah.
I mean, the lawsuits and the horrendous treatment that some of these folks received. Just, you know, like it or not, wineries, that's agriculture.
Yeah.
It's the production of turning grapes into wine. And likewise, you know, hops. I mean, this is agriculture, and it's the production of a product from what's grown from the earth. And so I'm so grateful for those that came before us that paved the way for us. And it's just unfortunate that those that come first into a certain niche often pay the ultimate price of having to convince the powers that be that this is good for the economy, it's good for Virginia, it's good for everybody. And, you know, I applaud Virginia for celebrating these industries. And, you know, as recently as not too long ago, the Virginia Supreme Court determined that in essence, because this isn't exactly the exact same words, but that these conservation easements are to be interpreted in favor of the landowner and farmer. And that is huge, as they should be. You know, they should be interpreted in terms of the free use of land.
Yes.
So when there is any ambiguity, the ambiguity should be determined in favor of the landowner farmer. And that's how it should have been from day one. And isn't it sad that farmer in that case had to spend over $500,000 fighting that battle? And the Virginia Supreme Court was spot on, ruled accurately and properly, that these agreements are perpetual in nature, and they affect generations to come. And can you imagine, what if growing vegetables is different than it is today? What if 100 years from now, there's a new, more organic, more sustainable, more wonderful way of growing vegetables than we know today? And how devastating it would be to our nation that millions and millions and millions of acres are held in perpetual conservation easements, and that language, it does not adapt to the modern technology that's more sustainable and better for our environment and better for our earth and our planet, because the language is not interpreted for the free use of land and the free use of the ability for agriculture. And so I applaud our Virginia Supreme Court, and I applaud our General Assembly and our legislators and those that govern that fully understand and truly understand how significant it is to protect the free use of land and to protect the ability to truly farm and protect and preserve agriculture on these lands. And I applaud them. And I think that those that do not want the free use of land, there is a lack of awareness, a lack of knowledge, a lack of true appreciation and understanding of what farming is all about and how the integrity of our nation, the heart and soul of our nature, of our nation, depends on the ability to truly farm these lands.
Martha, thank you so much for coming in. I always learn so much
thank
from you.
Thank you so much.
And I always love having you in here.
Oh, I just love you, Shu, and I'm so grateful. And thank you so much to everybody that listens to you. I know you have a truly extraordinary following, and you know, God bless you and the great work you do, and God bless everyone. And together we truly carry the torch of liberty for us all. Thank you.
We will be free. We will be free or die. Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to Justice 4HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.